Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. How was your weekend? Hopefully tremendous. It's going to be an exciting week as we take America Tonight to Washington, D.C. A big week there, of course. Benjamin Netanyahu already in Washington getting ready for his Tuesday address of Congress. And, of course, the big snub, the Cold War between Netanyahu and President Obama. So here we are standing in the... looking out, let's say, into the frozen tundra of what will be on Tuesday. Plus, it couldn't be bigger, the Supreme Court this week hearing the oral arguments on what is akin to the King versus Burwell, what is akin to subsidies and what's going to happen with subsidies in Obamacare, which could change the face in either direction of what we're seeing currently with our health care coverage. It could tilt in a couple of different directions, and that's the main reason that I will be in D.C. We'll be talking to lots of different people. And I said this before, I'm looking at this, I'm shaking up the equation, and I'm looking at it from all angles, trying to look at it from all angles, as I often will proclaim here on America Tonight. Listen, left, right of right, somewhere in between, I'm asking all of you to be part of the conversation. That's how we make America better. We don't alienate other points of view. We invite them in. Let's hear those points of view. We used to have these discussions. So I'm going to have those discussions. And I guarantee they're going to be 180 degrees in different directions of each other, because it really, this is a political issue. And there doesn't seem to be any common ground other than the fact that almost everyone agrees that the pre-existing condition thing, okay, that's good. The pre-existing condition, because so many people who had been shut out before. But there were so many things that happened with affordable health care that confused people, that sent their wallets into shock, that had them really dazzled at when they received bills that they weren't expecting that they were going to get, because they truly didn't understand what was happening with their health insurance. And all you have to do is make a couple of phone calls, and you too can be in that state. Trust me, it's so easy. I've told this story now probably 15 times, and that makes me either like an old woman in a rocking chair or being too preachy. But I was very, very stunned at what I saw when I went to an urgent care center and listened to all the questions and sort of the a la carte menu and thought, wow, this isn't even healthcare. It's ridiculous. This will cost this and this is this. And what kind of insurance do you have? And what does this mean? And, you know, of course, there's always questions. Of course, you fill out something that talks about what you have coming into an urgent care center and things that you're allergic to and all of that. We get that. But this is beyond that kind of paperwork. And it really brought it home for me that there are very, very, very terrible things, frankly, happening to healthcare. And it goes back to the whole insurance business. And it goes back to the lack of competition. And it goes back to what Dr. George said, that now lots of doctors are just taking pay. I mean, look, pay as you go, direct pay practices. I've done a little survey on my own, and probably every out of the 20 offices I call just randomly, just to see, probably out of the 20, 12 were direct pay, would take direct pay, because wanting to be able to see the patients, not wanting the patients to not come there for fear of not being able to pay whatever it is that they have to pay for XYZ treatment. And that's not better health insurance. If anything, it's keeping people away from the doctor, and that's why the numbers are so staggering. But like I said, we're going to hear all kinds of points of view. People that will tell me that I'm wrong on that, that we're wrong on that, that we, if we look at where health care is, there's people that are getting health care that couldn't get it before. And I get that. There are people that are getting it. But you weigh that with all the other people, and it's like we've toppled the pyramid. Again, such a personal thing. And it is, I mean, this is our lives. I mean, you know, we're playing with our lives. People afraid to go to the doctor. People who actually now who could afford to go to the doctor that can't afford to go to the doctor. So please, somebody explain that to me. Anywhere, that's where we're at. And that's happening the next couple of days here on America Tonight. In the meantime, some other things happened over the weekend. While you were in your cozy hamlet, North Korea fired a few missiles. Yep, the U.S. and South Korea were holding some war games. North Korea had fired two short-range ballistic missiles into the sea. And, of course, whenever they have these military exercises, what do they describe it as? Tensions have mounted. So, yes, tensions mounted over this maneuver, to be sure. And they were fired into the west from the west coast into the sea. And that's the Sea of Japan. If you were to look at a map, you would be able to clearly see that marked. And it happened at, you know, 6:30 in the morning, and after that, and just slightly after that, that's when the two missiles were fired. And never a good thing when that happens, because then you look at the speed, the altitude, the distance, and they think they're Scud Seas, if you want to really get geeky about it. But it, most importantly, how far could they go? The projectiles. 304 miles before they dumped into the sea. They were fired just when the United States and South Korea began what they annually do, those military drills that I mentioned, where the United States forces Korea into this non-provocative training, because they say it's an important component, and of course it is, of readiness for defending South Korea. I mean, after all, we have lots of human capital invested there, that's for sure. And this is nothing new. This is something that happens every year. And every year it's kind of interesting to see what North Korea's reaction is. North Korea was informed on 24th when the joint drills were going to be held, so they knew that, and they knew that they were going to answer back, I suppose. And it does absolutely lend itself to high drama right there in the Sea of Japan. So we've seen this act before, where a couple of missiles have been fired, and then there's discussion about North Korea and what would it take to push them, you know, over the edge. And I think this is just Kim Jong-un's way of lashing out, of reacting to the fact that the U.S. supports South Korea and the fact that they're doing these readiness drills in case something should happen, That's what, you know, pretty much that's about. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, CPAC, the big conservative rally in Washington, D.C. Who won the straw poll? What did it look like? We're telling you next here on ATN. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
This is Tim Austin, Senior Vice President of Kmart. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year. That's why Kmart is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with sun. Let me sing forevermore.
By the way, you need some quick tips on the whole tax thing. At the end of the hour, weekly re-rack on America Tonight. I think Chris Carosa is just terrific, and he gives some very great advice, meaning things that you might miss, little things that might help you along the way for some deductions that you're just not thinking about, and some other things to look for when you're doing taxes, or when you go to someone to have taxes done, and that's at the tail end of this hour. Okay, the CPAC extravaganza ended up being won, the straw poll again. This is the third time is the charm, right? Rand Paul won the CPAC straw poll with 25.7% of the votes cast. Governor Scott Walker, 21.4. Senator Ted Cruz had 11.5. Dr. Ben Carson, a lot of people talk about Ben Carson, 11.4. I won't go into everybody's detail, but, and Jeb Bush, 8.3. And just for fun, if I went further down the list, I threw in Donald Trump's name always comes up. He had 3.5. Carly Fiorini had 3.0. And Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a whopping 2.8. And this is just the straw poll they do at CPAC. But, you know, this is a massive gathering of conservative minds in the Republican Party, right? And one thing about Rand Paul in winning this third time around, there were a lot of young people. I was noticing this, which is good because you have sort of libertarian slash conservative bent, you know, 22, 23, the future, who were there for a reason, right? And they like Rand Paul. They really like Rand Paul. And they, not so much with Jeb Bush and down the line. And Scott Walker, as I mentioned, too, very much on the heels of Rand Paul. So that makes it, I think, makes it pretty intriguing how far this will go. And there's no question that Rand Paul would be smart to rally the younger voters. And that's what he did with the midterm elections somewhat. I mean, he still had the old guard voting for him in Kentucky, and the Tea Party really helped push him over the top. Now we're going back a few years. But almost from the get-go, he started to stand out as something a little bit different, as a different option, whether you agree with all of his policies or ideologies or, you know, whatever. So he wins the straw poll. And remember, these are small numbers. You know, you're talking about just over 3,000 people who register. But there is something about the polls, the predictability of it and that kind of thing. And it seems as though what the thread was is people at CPAC, a lot of the conversation was about the Republican candidate who can be elected, even if they are not ideologically imperfect, you know, even if they may be ideologically imperfect, which that's pretty interesting if that truly is the conversation. I mean, because you know this. There is no, I mean, seriously, all of us know this. There is no 100%. There's no, I don't think, there's any candidate that any of us could grab onto and say, oh, absolutely. Every single thing out of his mouth, out of her mouth, I would say. But whoever, they're not going to line up with you exactly, but it's how closely they line up. And I think part of being a good president is that whole leadership thing. Are you willing to accept responsibility? Are you willing to really grab that mantle? Because it's not an easy job. And it's certainly, you certainly don't want someone in there that's whining about the job either, because, hey, if you go for it, you get it. You get that billion-dollar war chest. Let's get the best person in there possible. I mean, really, in a unicorn world, that's what I want. I want the best person possible, that maybe everything doesn't align with me 100%, but I know if I'm not on board with the one thing, at least I'm getting the truth. It's not filtered down, churned around, and spun in 10 different directions to make it more palatable for constituents to want to embrace that. I mean, there's this tendency to dance on that line, say one thing, get elected, and, geez, what can I do? Now I'm in this, and I've got to pay back the people that that helped get me here, the things that I promised, the things that I was saying along the trail, which is, you know, frankly, and any Democrat will tell you the same thing who's disappointed will tell you that's a lot of what's happening now with Obama. The Keystone Pipeline is really the best example of that. First, yeah, it looks like they're totally on board. Sure, we went through the studies, and now we have to wash it through again. Let's put it through the cycle again, because this way it can be pushed off and left for whoever else is coming in the door, because then I don't have to have the environmentalists breathing down my back, because after all, they helped me. They helped me in Hollywood. They helped me with fundraisers, and it's part of the whole election cycle, which is interesting about the former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. You know, he was heckled during his CPAC speech on Friday afternoon. He had some spots where he went and talked to groups, and had no problems, welcomed, and all that other kind of stuff. I'll call them many people who are trying to feel the, take some of the weight off of Rentz Priebus, the committee chair for the Republicans, meaning, you know, help really say what's happening on the ground and here's what has to happen and here's some things to think about, you know, feeding into that. Here's what I'm hearing grassroots wise. And one of the things that's being discussed is if the Republican Party really wants to win in 2016, how much of the Hispanic vote do you have to have? And the answer is you have to have the Hispanic vote, because if you look at the demographics, you have to have that vote. And how do you get that vote? As a Republican, how do you get that vote? There are conservative Hispanics in this country, certainly, but there are many that lean in the other direction. And then there are some that are kind of, you know, independent, undecided. And you certainly want to snap that demographic up. I think you can't deny it. If I was running someone's campaign, especially on a national level, I would look at those numbers. I mean, it's about electability, right? Who's electable? And to me, I want the right choice, right? But now with the current situation and the 140 character world, meaning all the social media and everything else that immediately gets pumped out, they really have to go with somebody they believe is the winning ticket, that's not dragging around a ton of baggage that has to be explained over and over and over again. The cleanest, smartest candidate that can really cut through and embrace a lot of different people, I think, is really where the Republicans are headed or trying to head. And this drumbeat from CPAC was a really, really good indication of that. And the push certainly was on for younger people, getting younger people involved, hearing what they have to say, and what direction they would go in. And, you know, attendance was up 20% over last year. And most of, you know, half, let's say half, which is big, half of the people who registered were 18 to 25 years old. So what does that tell you? There's definitely a movement afoot, whatever they want to call themselves, and different brands, libertarian slash a little Republican, super conservative Republican, not on board with complete rhinos. So, and then you see Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker just 5 points behind Paul in the poll. He's been kind of a lightning rod lately, especially in trying to get different parts of the Republican Party on the same page. And that goes a long way. It's about electability. Who do you think's electable? If you want to throw in your 2 cents as we head into the week, you certainly can do that. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
Up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
What color are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jay-Z. Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com. A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price, $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Segments into this first hour, and we touched upon Benjamin Netanyahu and the Supreme Court oral arguments that are coming up and going to Washington, D.C., of course, talking about CPAC and the straw poll and what the Republicans are trying to do as they feel their way around a strategy. And I'll say this, kind of a leftover from the last segment, they got to have a strategy. However tactically it's implemented, there's no question. The biggest mistake, it's like having a business with no business plan. As you know, I trot out a lot of business people here and there on America Tonight when we do our segment, It's Your Business, and that's for a reason, because they're saying, okay, here's what I started, came from nothing, had $2 in my pocket, or had $10,000, or whatever the scenario. But the one common denominator, whether it's somebody doing an app, somebody running a trucking company, whatever it is, somebody who, you know, opened up some printing company, they had a business plan. Whether they went to free schools or the Small Business Administration, wherever they got the got their ideas down on paper, and made it into a business, you know, that's the key thing. So with the Republicans, I really felt like last time the strategy was all over the map. And you could tell that at the convention. There was excitement at the convention, but it was like there were blinders on. And for the Republicans to go up against whoever Hillary Clinton has as her running mate, they have to have that strategy. They have to have that plan. And fine if the plan moves in a different direction or something changes, but you have to have the strategy, because how can you tactically try to implement some of what you're trying to implement if there is no strategy? It's called being rudderless. And this is when companies and businesses fail, and this is when politicians fail. And I think at CPAC there, that was really part of the emphasis. Now we'll see how it sticks. All right, some odds and ends, and I know some of you cruising around, or if you're laying in your bed, or you're listening to me on the front porch, although you might be really cold depending on where you are. Here's something that is a leftover from last week. We had a lot of push-pull in that 3-2 FCC vote over net neutrality, right? And I've read more and more and more about this, and we did dive deep into this. So the FCC chairman has agreed to testify before Congress on March 17th. There are a lot of lawsuits that are going to come tumbling down because of net neutrality. And one of the things that Republicans are saying, and mostly Republicans, a few Democrats, is that the new FCC rules are what many are calling a Trojan horse for an internet takeover, which would be disastrous if the internet wasn't the free highway to drive, so to speak. And I don't know if that's where we're going to end up, but I said this last week, and I got a lot of emails about this, that you can look eventually for taxes somewhere in there. Not today, not tomorrow, but they'll be there. Think of everything else that has been treated as a public utility and how it affected you a little bit financially, or more than a little bit. Like, net neutrality pretty much subsidizes big companies. Netflix and Facebook, do they need subsidies? Netflix alone accounts for 35% of all internet traffic in the U.S. So if broadband providers were able to charge Netflix a small fee for the high volume of data they send, they would pass that money on to you and me, onto consumers. They, you know, right? Supposedly. Would that be lower monthly bills? Could be. But then on the other side, it could be heavily taxed depending on depending on what the government does, because under the new rules, broadband internet as a public utility for the first time would give the government control of companies like Comcast, Verizon, Time Warner Cable, and it would pretty much ixnay, one of my favorite words, their incentives to invest in their networks. So would broadband develop slower? Would prices be higher for consumers? I think it would. I think that prices would eventually be higher. So 3-2. And you know what was crazy? A 317-page plan. 317-page plan. Wow. And they couldn't, and nobody saw that. Nobody in the public saw that. And what does this mean for the right to privacy? What does it mean for, remember, like, the NSA's PRISM surveillance program? You heard Ed Snowden mention that a bunch. And, you know, after he leaked that. So the federal government will have more ways to snoop around, I guess, in my affairs and yours, perhaps. Not today, not tomorrow, but probably in the near future. You might be surprised to learn this as we dump this into odds and ends. You know, the in Texas, what happened, of course, ground zero for Ebola. Now the nurse, one of the nurses who got Ebola, Nina Pham, if you remember her, because she even went to the White House and the president famously embraced her and you know, that picture was everywhere. Nita Pham is suing the hospital because she's saying they kind of left her high and dry, and they didn't have her best interests at heart. And the other nurse who contracted Ebola, they already settled. So there was a lawsuit brewing there, and that lawsuit was already settled. So this is a whole different game as to whether or not she was fed to the wolves in her words. But a lot of people are talking about that. And, you know, as a spinoff to what happened with Ebola, now there are medical conferences that are popping up. Not that they haven't always been around, they have. But one of the marquee things being discussed is Ebola. Because, okay, we have this panic and we talk about it, then, oh, what's happening in New York and what about this person who comes back into the country? And then that fear goes away. So there's heavy, heavy fear, lots of conversation about it. It goes away, and then suddenly it's done, and nobody's talking about it anymore. But not so when it comes to medical conferences, because it's very much, I think, on the front of everybody's mind as to what hospitals can and are prepared to do, and what do you do if you have one of these, have some other kind of crisis break out like that. But Ebola, and knowing that there were four really, really good places that could take care of Ebola in the United States shows you. I mean, the whole ZMapp process, there's very little doses of that. Plus, they don't know for sure if ZMapp is the answer. It seems like it could be the answer because of Dr. Brantley, who took it, and he couldn't even say for sure that he would definitely attribute it to the ZMapp, except for that he felt like he was dying for sure. He felt like like hell was descending on him, meaning his body shutting down and everything. And once he was given that, it started to turn around within 24 hours. So there's reason to believe it is an answer, but it's harder to produce. It takes a longer time, so the doses are slow, slow, slow in coming, which is another reason that there's conversation about Ebola. What happens if something happens again? What happens if there's another crisis and there's Doctors Without Borders and somebody contracts it and they come back in, and you know, the whole thing that we went through during that time period, which is a very long time period if you remember. I mean, that wasn't just an overnight thing. A couple of weeks, that was a very, very big thing. And in fact, on most year-end magazines, there was something as one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest things discussed was Ebola, 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 because we hadn't seen anything like that in a while. All right, another one of the odds and ends that is worth throwing out, because we talk so often about, wow, if we're talking about terrorist attack, everybody always looks at New York as that's the place because of the amount of people and the condensed population and the symbolism. But they're talking about getting a football team in Los Angeles, and one of the things that they're doing is looking at it from the point of view of terrorism. In fact, having someone, a group of people, conduct a study as to the viability of Inglewood, California, the stadium proposed by a group including the St. Louis Rams owner, as how safe is this? Now let's look at how safe this is to put this here. So Tom Ridge, the former Secretary of Homeland Security, is part of that. And Ridge says that the Inglewood Stadium would be 3 to 4 miles of the L.A. airport and beneath the flight path of airliners. Terrorists could try to shoot down a plane or crash one into the stadium. And he says this would be a twofer. That's what he described it as, for a terrorist. So now, wow, you wonder if they're going to abandon that, because are they heeding what he's saying, and do they want to be in that path? It's interesting. You know, it's not just about winning over the minds and the hearts of the people in L.A. and getting the developers. It's about, we got to look at terrorism and the potential sites. Weekly Re-Rack. You're going to like it. Stay with us.
By now, you may have heard a bit about bitcoins. But did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I got to tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, GunsAD.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15, GunsAD.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to GunsAD.com or call 844-2GUNS80.
Let me tell you how it will be.
It's the craziest time of the year for anyone involved in finance. Why? Because, yep, tax time is looming, and this is when people panic and suddenly get everything together, no doubt about it. Certified trust and financial advisor Chris Carosa joins us now again. MBA, chief contributing editor to fiduciarynews.com. Very important, that word, and we'll talk about it. And the author of several books on the topic, including 401k. Fiduciary Solutions. Chris, as always, thanks for hopping on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
So here's the thing, and this news blew out the other day. The Wall Street Journal had a big report about what's happening, that the administration is going to endorse some new rules aimed at eliminating conflicts of interest among brokers and retirement advisors that they say are costing retirement investors billions of dollars. So here's what, when we hear that, a lot of people don't understand that. That's gobbledygook to them. So what does that mean to the mere mortal out there who's listening to this?
Well, it means that the government is trying to do something that you should be doing yourself. Maybe we'll start with that. First of all, there's a common misconception out there that these are quote-unquote new rules. In fact, these rules have existed for decades, going back to the 1930s. The issue is that only half of the financial service providers are obligated to obey these rules. The other half have loopholes that allow them to get out of it. And so that's what really they're talking about doing. It's not so much adding new regulations, it's enforcing the existing ones.
Enforcing them. So people in the financial industry, how do they react to this?
Well, the ones that are already obeying the rules, they cheer. The ones who have been skirting the rules, they don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's an interesting word, fiduciary. Fiduciary responsibilities, and especially when it comes to finance and some of the with investments and whatnot, sometimes there's transparency, certainly with very good investment people and advisors, but sometimes there's not. In your industry, is there a push to police more the guys or the women that aren't so on the up and up, and maybe this is one of the steps in that direction?
Certainly there is. There's the industry, I understand, is actually split into several different sub-industries. So the portion of the industry that have been registered investment advisors, those are the people that have always been under this fiduciary obligation. And they're policed by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The brokers, insurance companies, they are kind of getting in through the back door, and they are not under the same regulations as the investment advisors. They have some self-regulatory groups that have been sort of policing them, but it's only been, say, in the last year or so that they've put this move on.
You know, so it's interesting, as you said, since now they put this move on, brokers, are they, you know, that's that thing that we're talking about, that elusive thing. Are they able to kind of skirt that fiduciary responsibility with their clients in a few instances or no?
Well, let's put it this way. How many typical investors out there would know whether or not the person that's advising them is a broker or a registered investment advisor?
Yeah, they wouldn't know.
Very few.
Yeah.
And then try to ask them, are they a fiduciary or not a fiduciary? Then even fewer people would know that. So there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace. And this, you know, the uniformity, making this rule uniform across the board, kind of helps to address that confusion a little bit. Some people say it doesn't go far enough. For example, some people are saying that brokers should simply not call themselves advisors. They should just call themselves brokers unless they really are advisors and acting under the fiduciary rule. This will make it a lot easier for people because then they'll know anybody who calls himself an advisor is obligated to this fiduciary rule. But right now, that's not the case.
Yeah. With the new rules now, will that close some of the crazy loopholes that are out there?
Well, you know, that's what everyone's hoping, but I sort of doubt it. Already the Department of Labor is committing itself to allowing exemptions that, you know, really in the traditional sense of fiduciary aren't allowed. The basic idea is this. If you're a fiduciary, you always have to act in the best interests of the client. And that means when you make a trade or any sort of transaction, you cannot profit from that transaction. But the very sense of taking a commission is a form of profiting from a transaction. In a way, you're getting paid twice. And that's what the conflict of interest is, and that's what they're trying to resolve. But the Department of Labor says they're going to allow some exemption. We're going to have to wait and see exactly what they're going to allow, but I'm not sure all the loopholes are going to be gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a great question to ask you. And, you know, I have several friends in this industry, and a good friend of the show is named Stephen Kelly. And he always says that, and I bet you roll this way too, that you really need to know the person. And there's a whole process that you should go through. What would you tell people when they're looking for someone to advise them? Because you know this, Chris, everybody's very funny about their money. And they don't always tell you everything. And it's hard to dig in there and help them investment-wise when you don't know the full picture.
It's funny. That was actually the very first book I wrote, was How to Select an Investment Advisor.
Yeah.
It's out of print now, but I think you can buy it from used bookstores. I think that the most important thing to do is, number one, find somebody that you're compatible with. You know, somebody that you enjoy talking to, not just about investments, but about things in general. It's, you know, like you go to a barber because you like to talk to the barber. You know, you go to the doctor because you trust the doctor and you feel comfortable talking to him. Same thing with an investment advisor. You want to be comfortable talking with that person. But beyond that, You want to go to an advisor that serves a lot of people like you, because you don't know the right questions to ask. No matter how smart you are, you don't know the right questions to ask about yourself. You're really relying on the advisor to prompt you to ask the right questions. And the advisor will only know how to do that if that advisor has gone through multiple cases like yours.
Yeah, and there's probably different advisors who are better at different levels or with different people, right?
Oh, certainly. Advisors specialize all the time.
I mean, you know, sometimes it might be high wealth, or it might be your sweet spot is, say, upper middle class, average middle class, whatever. But if you have the bulk of your clients, it's not so much about the money the investment advisor is making. It is to him or her, but meaning that is really their specialty, so they know, because it's all about repetition, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and each different group of people will have different concerns and needs. You know, ironically, people who make a lot of money have different, and maybe sometimes no, tax concerns because they make so much money. Whereas people making a smaller amount of money really need to focus on the tax implications of what's going on. So you want to pick an advisor that is used to dealing with people that are like you.
Yeah, yes, it's just great advice. And so everybody frets over the 401k. With all that we're talking about, is the 401k kind of in the center of this rule we're talking about?
Well, the 401k is actually better off than other retirement plans. The big issue, and the one that's got the industry up in arms, or at least that the big box manufacturers, so to speak, in the industry, is IRAs. Because right now, the IRAs are like the Wild West. There's no oversight. There's no rules on who could advise IRAs. At least within 401k plans, although you can have non-fiduciary advisors, the plan sponsor is always a fiduciary. So you always have at least one fiduciary in charge of the 401k plan. For an IRA, no, you're in charge of it yourself.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think there's a certain amount of time that people should check in? Because this is funny. I just read an article about how many times, this is a weird analogy, you should weigh yourself, right? Like people that weigh themselves every day have a better chance of losing more weight than the people who weigh themselves occasionally. But if you have a 401k, is it good to be on top of it yourself as well? And, hey, look at what's happening with your mutual fund or whatever's going on.
Well, you know, it's funny. My latest book, Hey, What's My Number? It talks about that. It tells you how often you should be looking at.
For 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.